Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Rebel Rags, celebrating 20 years of bringing the best Ole Miss gear to fans everywhere. Visit the store on Jackson Avenue in Oxford or order online at rebelrags.net. That's rebelrags.net. Tell them, Molly.
Rebel Rags, anything, everything, Ole Miss.
What's up, everybody? Glad to see you on this Monday edition of the Rebel Report, a recorded, not live edition from my hotel room in Tampa of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. As always, I really appreciate you being here. Day one of SEC Media Days in the books, and we're kind of easing into the week, it seems. So today, there was a little bit of buildup. Greg Sankey had his address, and then tomorrow I will actually get to talk to him one-on-one. I will bring that conversation to you on this feed coming up tomorrow. Me, Greg Sankey, one-on-one. And why I chose, or why I'm choosing to do it the way I'm going to do it, because he had his address today. We talked about that on the radio show some. I don't know if we're going to relitigate my opinion on the nine-game conference schedule tonight, although he did say something that really stood out. Quote, unsatisfactory conversations, end quote, with college football playoff committee members during SEC spring meetings. And so the thing that we've been talking about so much on the radio show and then right here with you guys, the nine-game conference schedule, not getting an expanded playoff, being a mistake, the committee not weighing strength of schedule, you got confirmation of that today. The SEC was, it was unsatisfactory, the conversations, the college football playoff selection, as the rain is coming down hard outside right now. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but that confirms what we've been talking about. The league made a mistake going to nine conference games. They can talk about being battle tested and all those things, but they added eight losses to the league and they replaced those eight wins that they generally would get, because they're not losing, you know, power conference games. Those are still a requirement. The SEC is the only league that has a nine-game conference schedule and the power conference requirement. The Big Ten does not. As you know, the last three national champions did not play a power non-conference opponent before they won the national championship in that season. So the league made the schedules more difficult just on math, replacing a non-conference group of five or FCS, or group of six or FCS game with a conference game is objectively more difficult. They didn't get the expanded playoff in return, and the committee, at least according to Greg Sankey today, is not going to weigh strength of schedule, strength of conference in a way that is satisfactory to the league. We've been talking about that today, just kind of confirmed that. My conversation with him tomorrow is not going to be about that. I think I'm going to focus more on week three with Ole Miss and LSU, focus on the fans and those kind of things. More so than college football playoff expansion. I think there are more things of more local interest that I need to ask the commissioner tomorrow that I will do, and that will come right here on this feed as well. Obviously, we'll play it on the radio show, and it'll be there, but that'll be on this feed as well. So that's coming up tomorrow. Really looking forward to having that conversation and playing that with you guys coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, we had a lot of conversations today. I want to bring you three cuts from conversations that Haydad and I had. Again, we're kind of easing into the week. Ole Miss doesn't go until Wednesday. Confirmed today with Ole Miss. I will be visiting with Pete Golding one-on-one and the three players, so I'm excited about that opportunity and to bring those conversations to you guys here. I think what's going to happen is I am going to get Pete before the radio show and then the players during the radio show. I think that's the current plan. If that changes, I will let you know. But you're going to get all of them on this feed anyway. It's just a matter of when, but it'll be, we'll be live on Wednesday, back-to-back-to-back-to-back interviews following that. I think that's the plan for right now. So we're easing into the week, but I've got three cuts for you, and they're all a little bit different, but they're all about Ole Miss. Visited with Chris Doering. He spent a lot of time in Oxford lately. Asked him about what he learned about Ole Miss during the college football playoff run, because the last time we were able to visit with him on the radio show was like 2 days before the Tulane playoff game. And, you know, what did he learn about Pete Golding? How do they manage pressure and expectations? That kind of stuff. Asked Greg McElroy about Trinidad Chambliss welcoming in new weapons on offense and what that process is like, and then what's the biggest hurdle for John David Baker going from the American Conference to the SEC as an offensive coordinator. And then the film guy, Brooks Austin, I asked him about Will Eccles, because there's so much stuff on Trinidad and Kiwan. You know, what about Will Eccles? What do you think about him? And so I will play all of those for you on this abbreviated and recorded edition of the podcast. But I'm so glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report in your podcast app and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got everything you could possibly want or need. Y'all hear that? The wind's whipping too. That is that's wild. I can't imagine what hurricane season is like here, if that's what the wind sounds like outside the window. Sorry. Scruggs is not sorry for offering anything you could possibly need under one roof, inside of the home, appliances, home furnishings, home improvement, outside of the home, in your garden, on your lawn, on your property, and everything in between. They've got it. And most importantly, they've got the John Deere that you need. America's tractor, 0% financing on commercial mowers, 0% on compact tractors, 0% on 5-series tractors, 0% on zero-turn mowers, 1.9% on the Gator from John Deere. Go to Scruggs. Tell them it was me that sent you. They will take care of you. Go check them out today at Scruggs and Saltillo. Outside of Tupelo is where they are, and they're great people, and they will take care of you. And tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. First, Chris Doering. Yeah, you can hear him talking about, he mentions, he was in Oxford, he had dinner with Richard Cross, which I know we love Richard around here, but come on, Chris, you got to spend your time more wisely than that. Kidding, of course. And then asked him about pressure expectations and things of that nature. So here's part of our conversation with the former All-American, Chris Doering, about Ole Miss and managing the playoffs that they did last year and all of that stuff.
You mentioned the last time we talked, it was like right before the Tulane Ole Miss game last year, right? I think always kind enough to let me crash the set. I was actually in Oxford last week and kind of my second home. Loved being down there with all our Ole Miss friends. But yes, I had a little dinner with Richard Cross enjoyed my time there despite that.
Well, so a lot has happened since then.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go before we know what kind of head coach Pete Golding is or what kind he's not. But what did you learn about him specifically, not just that day, but through the three games he coached as a head coach in the playoffs last year?
Seemed very comfortable despite not having head coaching experience. And I think a lot of it has to do with his authenticity, you know, and the relationship that he's been able to build. Obviously, coaching the defensive guys, but the connection that he had with Trinidad and Kiwan and you know, the rest of the offensive guys is not something that's typical. So I think, you know, the move that Keith Carter made to keep the train on the tracks and to continue on with Pete Golding despite not having any head coaching experience, to me, is the right one. And, you know, having been around Pete last week, we were in Oxford to do a deep dive with Trinidad Chambliss, was over at Trinidad's house and met his parents and got a chance to talk about this season. What a difference a year makes for not only for Trinidad, for Pete Golding, where they were last year at this time versus where they are this year. The expectation level is going to be extremely high. I think that the most amount of pressure in this conference is on LSU and Lane Kiffin. But right after that, I think it's on Pete Golding and Trinidad Chambliss. And I, after being with Trinidad, you can see how calm and cool and collected he is when it comes to handling that pressure and expectation and kind of welcoming what people think the Ole Miss Rebels can do this year.
How do you manage that? If you were advising him, I mean, he had the court case situation. Now they've launched a Heisman campaign. He's getting Nike deals. He's on the front page of all this stuff. How do you manage those kind of pressure and expectations to live up to the hype that he's getting?
I think pressure is a privilege, and you know, this is a guy that believed in himself long before anybody else believed in himself, which I love stories of perseverance and self-belief, and so I think he's just enjoying the run, and this is a guy that has been very outspoken about how much he appreciates living in Oxford, just like, you know, coming down from Michigan and You know, it's a big change, but I think he is the same guy he was last year. Same charismatic smile, a guy that's going to work hard and be prepared when he gets his opportunity, and he did that last year and has made the most of it. So I just think it's keep being yourself. If you've ever spent time with his parents, Cheryl and Trent, you understand where he gets it from. The son of a former player, a guy that coached him, and you know, Trinidad talking to us about his dad kicking him out of basketball practice and the way that he's pushed him and hold him accountable. You know, he's been dealing with expectation for a long time since he was a little boy. This is just on a bigger scale now.
All right, so that was former All-American at Florida, Chris Doering. You can see him all over as well, doing media all over the place, and spends a lot of time in Oxford, as he told us on our interview earlier today. And he's just around. You'll probably see him if you're there in town enough or you live in town, because he's around a good bit. All right, the next thing, Greg McElroy, SEC Network, Mac and Cube, all that stuff, calls games. He was on the call for the Sugar Bowl. Some people have their opinions about Greg McElroy. I thought he and Sean McDonough on the call of that game were absolutely spectacular. But here's about 4 minutes of him talking about how difficult it is maybe to bring in new wide receivers and what that process is like for Trinidad with new weapons. And then John David Baker, what that transition into the SEC is going to be like for Ole Miss's new offensive coordinator. Here that is right now from Greg McElroy.
You mentioned supporting cast. Deuce Alexander back, but everybody else, I mean, it's Jontae Cook, Horatio Fields, Daryl Gill. Caleb Cunningham's been with the team, but not a starter or really right. A big role player. What is the biggest challenge for a quarterback welcoming in a new crop of receivers that he did not depend on last year?
Well, I mean, I think Trey Wallace was great last year. Daquan Wright was amazing last year, especially in gotta-have-it situations. For whatever reason, Caden Lee, his level of involvement wasn't ever what we thought it was going to be. It was a little banged up, whatever that reason might be. Winston Watkins was there last year as well. Now, Deuce was great, but Deuce is a great jet sweep guy. You know, like, he's a jet sweep, get him the ball, get him on a screen, let him run. Like, he's a ball in the hand after the catch type of guy. I need to see from him kind of the next level of his route running, his polish. We know he can go get it. But what is he as a down-in, down-out wide receiver? I think there's questions there. I still like his skill set a lot. I think Jontae Cook's going to have a nice year. He's got a nice skill set. It's been heavily regarded for a while now. Really well coached, obviously, in his time at Texas and Syracuse last year. So I think he has a chance to kind of be your X, which is a very important position in this group, in this offense. Last year that was kind of occupied by DeJon Stribling, who was just a big physical guy into the boundary that's going to make the catch, that's going to be able to work the back shoulder, get behind you, what have you. So I like their supporting cast. I have a lot of questions about their supporting cast as well. And it's not because I doubt their personnel. It's more just I thought so highly of their personnel last year. I think it's going to be very hard to replace those roles that you had last year. So maybe Cade Cunningham is that guy. Maybe Caleb Odom develops into becoming a real threat in the red zone. Maybe there's a lot of questions that we have. Maybe Luke Haas becomes comparable to Daquan Wright. I don't know if he will, but maybe it's in there. So there's question marks, but I like him a lot. I just think last year's group was so well built, specific to the role they were asked to play. And I don't have those answers just yet.
Last thing on this, John David Baker had good offenses at East Carolina, but what is the biggest difference between calling offense at an East Carolina in the American Conference versus calling offense in the SEC? He's got better players, but so does everybody else.
Pass rushers. I mean, it's just that's as simple as that. Like, I am not going to sit here and tell you guys I am well-schooled on what UAB's running out there to get after the quarterback. I can't tell you necessarily what Rice has at D-tackle. I don't know that. I do know that in the SEC, everyone's got a guy. And that's been that way for 25 years. And my time following the league, playing in the league, studying the league now as a broadcaster, everyone's got a guy that's probably going to be in the first round and can take over the game if you let him. I mean, it's simple. Some are just great college players, but, man, they'll kill you. And I don't think at East Carolina you have to adjust your scheme as often because you don't have the defensive lineman that can flat out kill you if they are unaccounted for. So, for example, let's just say you're playing South Carolina. South Carolina, if you leave Dylan Stewart one-on-one with your tackle, you are dead, literally dead. I don't care how much tempo you run, how quickly you snap the ball, all the RPO eye candy that you can give him, like, you are dead. He requires a tight end, and if a tight end's not there, the back better be over there to help you out in protection. And there's a handful of guys like that throughout the league. So I think just making sure that your protection is sound, making sure that you are in a position where your quarterback is upright all the time, has the answers when they are unblocked, does he know where they're coming from? That's a tricky part of playing in this league, and that's something you just can't really prepare for as a play caller. I think you asked Ben Arbuckle, the guy that made the transition last year from Washington State to Oklahoma. It's not like he forgot how to call offense.
Right.
That dude put up a million points at Washington State. I think he just realized, oh, man, like, these guys on defense are dudes. Like, we can't just win every one-on-one. Sometimes that corner is going to actually cover our receiver that we're trying to scheme it up for. So it's pretty crazy, but it's pretty also, it's also probably a fun for JDB to try to figure that out.
I want to ask you about a quarterback.
Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500 for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Logan Smith has got you covered. 601-823-3500. Auto, home, life, or business insurance anywhere in Mississippi. He's got award-winning services. He will take care of you. Tell him that it was me that sent you. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, taking care of you, the listener of this very podcast. And finally, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing and decision making, online banking, and more. They make you their priority just like they do me. Bank with me, switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right. Will Eccles making his rounds on Wednesday at SEC Media Days. He's going to fly a little bit under the radar because of the position he plays. He's not a quarterback. He's not a wide receiver. He's not flashy. Well, guess what? His play is obviously very flashy, and there's a possibility he's a first-round pick. Had Brooks Austin on before the Sugar Bowl. Had a really good conversation with him. If you want to hear the whole thing, again, it was on the radio show, but I clipped out this asking him about Will Eccles and his prospects and things like that. Really good stuff here. And so here is the film guy, as he's affectionately known, on Ole Miss.
I'll be in before the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
With Ole Miss and Georgia was the last time we talked to you. So let's go back to that game. What specifically did you learn about Pete Golding coaching, playing, and winning that game?
Man, the amount of crap that they dealt with during that week. The idea that he got his football team ready to play and to play that excellently, I don't think that's a word, was extremely impressive, right? Like, everybody knows the story, especially Mississippi fans. Like, the idea of all that coaching turnover. I got buddies that were on that staff that went over to LSU, and I'm sitting down with them during the week, and they're, like, traveling back and forth from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, like, day up. Like, just nonsense. And I honestly think, I think Lane did it on purpose. I think Lane was like scheduling meetings for them to to like make it almost borderline impossible for that guy to win that football game, because nothing looked worse, I would imagine, for Lane in his mind for Ole Miss to win that football game without him as the head football coach. But I mean, the offensive performance was tremendous. I thought there was a stretch there in the middle of the second and third quarter where their defense played phenomenally, particularly Will Eccles. I mean, he was a disruptive monster most of the football game. But both of those games, right, the game in Athens between Georgia and Ole Miss and the game right there in the Sugar Bowl were some of the better football games of the year, I felt like, last year.
You did some studying on quarterbacks, both Trinidad and Kamario Taylor. I want to get to that in a second, but you mentioned Will Eccles. He'll be here on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he what some NFL people project him to be? Is he a first-round pick, and what does he have to do to get there if he's not?
No, I think he is. I think there's two or three really, really good defensive tackles, interior defensive tackles in college football. Ahmad Moten from Miami is, like, real twitched up. I can't believe he's coming back to college football. Will Eccles is in that category. David Stone, who I can't believe is not here today, is in that category for me. I think the Hicks kid from Texas A&M is really, really good. But Eccles, Stone, and Ahmad Moten, to me, are kind of in their own little territory right now. Eccles' ability to accelerate at north of 300 pounds, to me, is really, really impressive. I can't remember what tape I was watching yesterday, but he ran down like a real twitched-up running back. I mean, it might have been – I can't even remember. But, I mean, got loose. He's unblocked. He's wrapped around the edge. And he's wide nining, like real, real wide. And then all of a sudden he realizes the quarterback's about to float left, gets his foot in the ground, and accelerates. 1, 2, 3, and runs that quarterback down. And you could see that quarterback get up, and he's like, wait a minute, I got ran down by who? And I think there's a lot of that when you turn Will's tape on, is like just how twitchy and explosive he is. I think that's the most impressive thing to me.
When we talk about new coaches in the conference, do you consider Golding a new coach, or what he did at the end of the year, does that give him a leg up over somebody like a Will Stein?
Yeah, to me, yes. I mean, he's won a playoff game against a dude, by the way. I mean, I hate to say this. He out-coached Kirby Smart in that football game.
Hmm.
And that alone is like your first opportunity to be a head coach, and you go out in a big game like that and you do that. That was tremendously impressive to me. But, yeah, I mean, having that, it is a first-year head coach in the sense that this is finally his team. You know what I mean? He's not coaching somebody else's verbiage. He's not coaching somebody else's team. He's not overseeing somebody else's offense. He's got the full reins of the football team, and I do think you're probably, I would imagine, going to see a little bit more of a defensive minded approach, as a head coach, because the defensive coordinator is the head coach.
The financial resources have been more balanced to defensively.
Yeah, anyway, you're not, grabbing safeties from Wazoo.
Yeah.
you took one from Georgia. It's a little bit different.
On YouTube, you're the film guy.
Really good stuff there as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Just kind of a little sampling of what we were able to talk about today at SEC Media Days. We visited with Kentucky head coach Will Stein. That was a really fun conversation as well. So if you want to hear what Haydad and I did today and all week and moving forward, seek out our radio show. I mean, 12 stations on the Super Talk Network statewide, our podcast feed, Sports Talk Mississippi. You can video stream us every day. We're everywhere. You can't miss us. So if you're not tuned in, maybe you should be. I would really encourage you to do that. That is where the money is made around here anyway. But really appreciate you guys being here. I will upload that Sankey interview for you tomorrow. And then I'll probably do more things like this, just little clips of asking people specific things about Ole Miss. I won't make it repetitive. I'll try to kind of branch out. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. And yeah, getting closer, getting much closer. Ole Miss will go on Wednesday, and looking forward to hearing from them. It is a very popular team here this year. A lot of people are talking about Ole Miss. They're curious about this team. So we'll talk about them as well. I'm headed to bed. I will see you guys tomorrow, bright and early. We'll be down there getting the show ready, doing interviews, all that good stuff. And I'll see you guys at some point tomorrow. And hope you enjoy. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.